Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today, we're going to be focusing on, yes, mind power, but also wellness power, body power. Why is this important? Well, you can have the best mind in the world, but if you don't take care of the physical vehicle that you're living in, your body, then you're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some problems. And I was talking with someone yesterday who's in his 70s who makes a point of staying active. He's involved in various business activities, and he made a comment to me that I was very intrigued with, and I'll share it with you later on in the interview that we are going to be having, starting now with a wonderful gentleman, Harry Gaines, and he has put together a book called Fitness Beyond 50. Now, if you're under 50, believe me, you'll still benefit from this, because wellness is something we need to understand from the time we are young. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to enjoy good health in your older years. And if by the grace of God you're able to live to be 120, you still want to be able to dance when you're that age and not be in a wheelchair. Harry Gaines, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I really appreciate anyone's effort in trying to make people understand how important wellness is. But with you, this is something that you walk your talk. You just don't talk to talk and tell people this is what you're supposed to do, or this, you know, this, it's my way or it's no way. What is it that gave you, Harry, the passion for this? Why is it that you decided you really wanted to interact with people over the age of 50? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Well, in a few weeks, not very far off, I'll be 75.
Congratulations.
And, at 75, thank you. At 75 years old, I just I cut my bike ride short this morning to be sure that I got back in time for this call, because if I had a flat tire or something 30 miles out, I'd have a problem. So I did a 3-mile ride this morning. I normally go farther than that, but I've been exercising in various forms as far back as I can remember. Now, of course, there have been periods when I did a lot more than in other times. I had some jobs where I traveled around the world, and I got to be more of a challenge, but I always got back on the program. I've done tennis and swimming and running and cycling and strength training and golf. And today, I'm focused primarily on cycling 3 days a week. I do strength training 2 days a week, and I play golf 2 days a week. And when I play golf in Pennsylvania, where I live this time of the year, I can walk and carry my bag. So I'm walking 6 miles and doing 700 feet of elevation, so I get a good workout. Unfortunately, in Florida, where I live in the winter, we have to ride in one of those carts. So There's not a lot of exercise involved in that. What I do is just get out of the cart and try to walk to my ball every time I can. So it's certainly better than sitting in front of the television, but those who sit in a cart and play golf, please don't count that as your exercise, because it's not.
Now, Harry, you have been an executive prior to your retirement area, so you're very familiar with the working environment and people that are busy. They've got 8-to-5 jobs, and so many individuals will say, "Oh, I'm just so tired, I just can't do it." And I was mentioning before we came on the air about a gentleman who's 72 who was saying to me that he did not enjoy going to reunions because he found that so many of the people, and he's in the military, and he would go to these reunions and he felt so sad. He said these people had really abused themselves physically, and he said here they are in their middle 70s, many of them, and they just are not doing well at all. They're people that you would say would be Well, in his mind, he said it's more like they're 95 or 100 years old. He said their bodies have just not done well. And I know there are sometimes disease that's involved and things like this. But it's patternings. And his comment was, it's patternings that people have really from the time they're young. Did you, and I know you've always been involved with exercise. Your wife, Deborah, is one that loves to exercise.
Right.
Do you feel that the correlation of physical activity from when you're younger has a definite effect on the strength and stamina of the body as you get older if you maintain it?
Well, yeah, the last three words, the last four words, if you maintain it. It certainly helps a lot to have started early. The big help in that, the two issues that people bring up primarily in relation to why don't you exercise more? Number one is time, number two is motivation. But really the biggest one by far, and I've read a lot of research on this, I've interviewed a lot of people about this, the biggest one is motivation. We can make time for things that we want to do, but we have to internally provide our own motivation. I was just reading a very detailed report of how people spend their time. And those in their 50s, beginning, the report covered 55 to 75 and over. And 56 to 58% of their time is spent watching television.
Mm-hmm.
There are a variety of other activities, 14, 12, and 11% in leisure activities. And then there's a question that is participation in sports, exercise, and recreation. Now, understand this is not just exercise, it's recreation, whatever that means. That might mean walking and sitting outside for a little bit and watching the animals as I'm doing as I talk to you, watching the squirrels playing with each other in the backyard. That is 3 to 5%. So 3 to 5% of their leisure time, not their total time, their leisure time, is spent doing something that would be remotely related to exercise, compared to 58% for watching television. So somehow we're able to make time to watch television, but not to do the things we needed to take care of ourselves. And the shame of it is we pay for it in later years. That's not a strong motivation for many people. Many people, the best motivation and the best reason to do exercise is because they will feel one heck of a lot better if they do it now. They won't feel better 20 years from now, they certainly will, but they will feel the benefits of it now. But as we move into our 50s and 60s, many people start thinking about, well, how long am I going to be able to do the things that I like to do, like play with the grandkids, play golf, travel, go on travel trips around the world? And the answer is quite a long time, provided, however, you take care of yourself. And that take care of yourself has to involve exercise.
I was meeting with a friend of mine who is 91 years young, and I just, you'd never know she was 91. She is mentally just very alert, very agile, and she also physically, she does yoga, things like this, and she just does incredibly well. And I remember just this past weekend when I was spending time with her and we were out and about, I would never in a million years have even imagined she was that age. But she has this wonderful attitude about life. But she also says, I have to do things physically because it's so easy to say, no, I just won't do it. I won't do it. And I think one of the biggest handicaps with people is that they have images in their mind of times past. And whether you're watching old movies, you look at old movies, you see people that were in their 30s in old movies. They look like they would have been 60 or 70 years of age. And at that time, they were lucky men if they lived past the age of 50. And with women, if they lived past the age of 60. Women typically live longer than men.
That's right.
We've got too much work to do. We can't afford to die. Anyway, and that was then. Today, we have men like Jack LaLanne, who died in his 90s, and with his generation, that is really long life. I've known a number of people in family, with friends, that have lived to be in their 90s, but their physical condition was very bad. Jack's wasn't, and he passed away from pneumonia, but still, the quality of life that he had versus some of the people that I've known otherwise, the quality of life that they had in that same age bracket, was miles and miles apart. Of course, his life was just totally dedicated to health and wellness and exercise, and, you know, he did phenomenal things.
Incredible, yes.
Yeah, he was just incredible. You have cute cartoons throughout your book, which I just love. One of them, the very first one, says, "We have an excellent employee health plan. We built our parking garage 2 miles away from the office." Obviously, there was no shuttle provided. He had to walk. But, you know, these are things, they make us laugh. But if someone had a member of their family, it's so hard to tell these people you've got to move, you've got to exercise, because just what you said, the TV is a big distraction. How do you get around that with people? I know somebody is listening today saying, "Oh, my husband is this way. I can't get him to get up from the tube there." I mean, it's just, it's awful. Or they're involved in gaming, or they're on the computer. What would you suggest to them?
Well, there are two ways to motivate people. Understanding that motivation has to come from within. Nobody's going to do anything if they don't want to do it. They may do it once or twice. I have a friend who, at the urging of his wife, signed up for $1,000 worth of personal training at for a year. And he went. He used a personal trainer one time, and without telling his wife, he converted all of the balance of the personal training money to massages. Now, of course, he doesn't know that I know that story, and I certainly hope he doesn't hear it on the radio today. But getting people motivated is either via fear of what's going to happen if they don't exercise, or much better than fear is, here's what I can be doing. I'm 65 years old, let's say. Here's what I could be doing when I'm 75, 80, and 85 if I'm willing to spend about 5 hours a week taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the corollary to that, if I'm not willing to do that, then it's very probable that I won't be able to do what I want to be doing. So the picture in your mind of what can be, provided you're willing to do it. You know, Al Roker is famous on the television show. He's on a lot right now because of the Hurricane Isaac. And Al's father died about 8 years ago. And his father got Al to promise on his father's deathbed that he would start taking care of himself, because he weighed 340 pounds at the time, and he's only about 5'9". And Al made a commitment to his father. After his father passed away, his father said to him, "I want you to be around to see my grandkids grow up, because I'm not going to be." That was the motivator. Mm-hmm. Al had gastric bypass surgery. He started exercising regularly, and he went from 340 to 200. And he stayed in that range, and he said on television, "There have been times when I didn't get it done, but I always go back." So Al got the message from his father and made a commitment. If a genie could come along today and say to me, "Harry, we're going to give you one wish, but that's the only one I have, and the wish has to be that you will have the right to say that you won't ever contract a certain disease, one disease type, that's it." Well, mine would be Alzheimer's, because the idea of sitting in a wheelchair or being shuffled around, not knowing who I am, unable to think, unable to read, unable to really communicate, is to me the least desirable option. I'd much rather have many other things happen to me than that. And the reality is that the only real good treatment for Alzheimer's is exercise. Dr. Ronald Peterson is director of the Alzheimer's Research Center at the Mayo Clinic, and he said the only treatment we have for Alzheimer's today is physical exercise. Now, when people learn that and know it, and if they have a history of Alzheimer's in their family, which does increase the chances they'll get it, then that has to be a motivator. It's a positive motivator and a negative. A positive in the sense, here's what I can do to avoid it. A negative in the sense of, here's what I can do to avoid it.
You have an adorable cartoon in here, a doctor talking to his obviously overweight male patient, and the doctor is saying, "What fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day?"
That's my favorite. That is exactly why I put those cartoons out. When I saw that, when a guy named Randy Glassbergen, I have 10 of his cartoons in the book, and I contacted Randy and worked out permission and purchased the right to use his cartoons. But that is by far the best, because it really does narrow down to that. What do you want to do? Do you want to live on people who exercise regularly live on average about 5.7 years longer of an active, healthy life, not being alive, not being in a nursing home, but active and healthy. And when you think about investing an hour a day to be able to live 5.7 years longer on average and to be able to be active and healthy in those 5.7 years, it's just, it's really a no-brainer. And it's it is encouraging to me how many people have said to me, I've read your book, I was doing a little bit, now I'm doing a lot of it. I've upped the ante, and I'm doing much more exercise than I was before. And that's exactly why I wrote the book. The book is focused on the why, not the how. Why should you? Why is it important to do exercise to maintain your brain power? Why do you need to do aerobics at certain levels in order to obtain the benefit of having a hit on more healthy cardiovascular system? So there's a lot of education as well as inspiration, because I have 125 stories of what people have done, real-life people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even older, to take care of themselves and lead a long, active, healthy life.
I think it's very important also to realize, when we look at young people, I can remember someone saying to me when I was a kid, boy, if I could bottle your energy, it would be great. And, of course, I can remember saying that about whenever you're around kids, they have all of this tremendous energy. One of the things that people are beginning to recognize with youngsters is that if they are not physically active, if they're not out running around and involved in the climbing monkey bars or swinging through whatever and doing things that they are naturally inclined to do, it definitely affects their mental capabilities. And it is the mind-body connection, the mind-body-brain connection that really is significant. And it's just as significant for us as we grow older. The very thing that enables us when we're children to be strong, to be healthy, to develop good immune systems, it is important all through our lives, and especially after we get older. And again, I think we've got a lot of false images in our head that has been promoted. When you get to a certain age, if you mention to someone that you're 60 years of age, immediately those in the younger generation say, oh, my Lord, that's old. Well, wait until you meet somebody that's 120. Then you'll really know somebody that's getting older. But the fact is there are 60-year-olds that can many times outdo someone that's younger. And that,
there are, yes, I know. I have a number of friends.
Would be unheard of in the past.
Right. I have a number of friends who are into cycling big time. And there's an 83-year-old man who cycles in a group that I cycle in periodically. I can't keep up with them, so I don't do it often. Because they're 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds, and some of them are competitive cyclists. They are competing at a national level. And this 83-year-old gentleman cycles and keeps up with them because he's been doing it all of his life. He's very strong. He's taking care of himself. And he does what I do. In 2 weeks, we have what's called the Bucks County Birthday Ride. I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And we were, eight of us will ride my age. People come from all over the country to do the ride. And I plan to do that ride when I'm 90 years old. So if I'm going to do that, that's a motivator to take care of myself today, because I want to do it 15 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Very true. You have a wonderful quote from the Dalai Lama.
I love that one.
What surprised him most about humanity, and his comment was, and I quote, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he's so anxious about the future that he doesn't enjoy the present, the result being that he doesn't live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die, and then dies having never really lived.
Yeah, wow. That's a wonderful quote. I use that at the end of every talk I give. That's the last thing I say and then walk off, because in people just... it gives people thinking. What are we going to do? It really boils down to, what do you want to be doing in future years? It's a simple question. And if the answer is, I'd like to be doing a lot, then okay, then how are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful video that someone sent me last year about a woman who was 93 years young, dancing with a man who was in his 20s, and we're talking about a woman. We're not talking about somebody that's a gray-haired granny that's up on the stage. We're talking about a woman that had a beautiful figure, and she was dancing Latin dances.
Wow.
And they were, I mean, she was really doing it. Now, just like your friend with a bicycle, she had been dancing for a long time, and that was her exercise. That was her passion. And she also, I'm sure, did some other things to keep her muscles strong. And this is something that so many people don't get. Now, let's talk about another aspect, because you cover this in your book. It's not just about aerobics. You talk about the brain in your book. Let's talk about the food aspect, because there are so many people, women are really bad with this. They think they've got to be pencil thin. Well, Twiggies just don't exist unless you are like 12 years old. And women really have a challenge with this. Men just don't seem to care. You know, it's like, it's okay. I can just look the way I want. But women really have a challenge with their identity image. And so many times there are women, as they get older, they're trying to stay really, really thin, and it works against them. Let's talk about nutrition, body fat, and what you found in your research.
That's a very good question. The most important thing I found is that, as you know, there are about 20,000 diet books in the market.
Yes.
Diets don't work. 85 to 95%, I think it's closer to the latter number, of those who go on a diet put the weight they lost back on within the next 6 to 12 months. They change their eating habits for a brief period of time, then go back to their old eating habits. And guess what happens? It's no big surprise. But they don't change their lifestyle. They don't change their lifestyle eating habits. They just change it for a short period. That's unfortunately not effective. And it doesn't really matter, from that point of view of losing weight, whether it's high-fat, low-fat, high-carb, low-carb. A calorie is a calorie. So someone who's burning 2,500 calories a day and eats 3,000 will gain weight. Conversely, someone who is burning 2,500 per day and eats 2,000 will lose weight at a slower rate than they think, but they will make progress, and they will get down to a weight that they would be ideal for their body over time. But it takes it's patience and time. It's focus on the performance and not the results. And then the results will happen if you do the performance. But eating and eating healthy are kind of different topics. From a healthy point of view, I tend towards a diet that's heavy in carbs, protein, and fat in that order. I have about 15, and I've measured mine periodically, 15% fat, about 50% carbs, and the balance is protein. I do a lot of exercise, or right after exercise I'll get some protein because I've been ingesting some carbohydrates during the exercise to get the necessary glucose. So eating a diet of heavy on fruits, vegetables, whole wheat, colors versus white. I, for example, eliminated French fries about a year and a half ago. And over the next year, I had a test done that I had to test various parts of my body fat as well as weight, measurements around the waist, etc. And over the next year, I lost 8 pounds, but more importantly, I reduced my body fat from 19 to 16%. And someone at a talk I was giving looked at me, I asked a question, said, how many French fries did you eat? Well, the answer is not that many. But giving up French fries was sort of the tipping point to getting me to thinking a little more about what I eat and what I shouldn't eat. And it served as really the motivator to look carefully at as I was ordering and not don't worry about finishing my plate. We don't have to be the clean your plate club at our age. So healthy food, Mediterranean-style diet, it's called the low glycemic index diet, which is really around fruits, vegetables, and whole grains.
I know you said eat like a Greek.
Eat like a Greek. It is a very healthy diet, and on balance, it's probably the best around, but it's not really a diet. It's a healthy eating lifestyle. So that's what we focus on in our house. I have red meat occasionally, but not very often, and I found that The less I have it, the less I want to have it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good way of dealing with not eating things that that my wife and I don't want to eat. We don't buy it. Mm-hmm. If it's not in the house, we're not going to eat it. I like ice cream. We go out and have frozen yogurt several times a week at a place down the street, but we do not keep ice cream in our house, period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I happen to buy some, the next thing I know, my wife has thrown the container in the trash can. That's her solution. She said, you know, while you, I go away for a day or two, she said, oh, by the way, that ice cream you bought, it's not there anymore.
Boy, talk about a controlling person here. He says, you're not going to do that. Oh, that is so funny. I know
someone has
a spouse, and if ice cream's in the house and she sees that container in the trash, it's not because she's had very much. It's because he's eaten everything that's in the trash in the container that's gone into the trash is what I meant to say. Oh, that's so funny. So your wife uses some very interesting approaches.
That's right.
Oh, that is really something. And my hat's off to you. Instead of getting angry with her, you go, okay, I got it.
Well,
let's go out.
I don't blame her,
Yeah, so
you know,
that's
it's funny.
Really
I have
good.
A... on a week from yesterday, I have Suzanne Roberts is the wife of the founder of Comcast and the mother of the current CEO, and she has a show, and she's 91 years old. She has a show on television. So she's coming to my house with her entourage, and they're going to film for a couple of hours. I have no idea how much they'll use. But they want to do not only me exercising, but we're going to do me and Suzanne working out. 91 years old, she wants to see what exercises she can do that I do. And the coup de grace, or the finale, is she wants to ride on a tandem bicycle with me.
Oh, what fun.
Isn't that a kick?
That is fun. I'm going to mention, I know we're getting close to being out of time here, this other cartoon that you have in here, it's the doctor talking to his chunky patient. He said, spend more time outdoors with your dog. Teach him how to throw a stick for you to chase. Having a Scottish Terrier, I might be able to do that with him, but actually, I'm very active physically. So it's
good
something.
For you.
Oh, yes, because I strongly believe in it. And I have seen too many women who, at 85, starting in their 60s, they have osteoporosis. They don't need to have it. Exercise can actually reverse that patterning.
And no question.
I was talking with a friend yesterday that said, oh, my goodness, I have this girlfriend, and she's always so needy, and she knows she's not eating right. We'll say, well, why don't you try this, and why don't you try that, and why don't you try the other? And she said she's not doing anything, and she's got all these health problems, and she's got stuff, and she's going to the doctor. She's getting medicines. And I really think that people like Paul Bragg and Jack LaLanne and other individuals who so long ago started the awareness of people, saying, look, your body is something that must be honored and respected. Exercise is important. It is not important because you just maybe want to lose weight. It is important because it is the way your physical vehicle has to keep its strength and stamina. And as you get older, you're going to find that you can maintain that. Because you're a testimonial to that yourself, Harry.
You certainly can. And, you know, interject about osteoporosis, what people need to do for that is weight-bearing exercises, also called strength training.
Mm-hmm.
And they can easily, the MayoClinic.com website has some terrific exercises on it. Someone can go there and put in strength training or back exercises or leg exercises and get detailed instructions of what to do along with video. So, it's easy to find out what to do. What they can get from my book is why to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you're going to mention my website.
Absolutely. Fitness Beyond 50, and that's the word 50 spelled out, F-I-F-T-Y, fitnessbeyond50.com. Harry Gaines has a wonderful book here. I don't care what your age is, really. If you want to have a quality of life, open your eyes and observe people who do not. Don't criticize them. Just use them as an example of what you don't want to have happen to you if you're younger than 50. If you're in the 50 bracket and above, realize it's your personal responsibility to do this. you can make choices about what you like to do, whether it's dancing like the 93-year-old woman that I mentioned, or the woman who's 91 that Harry mentioned that has got a television show, and here she is, vibrant and vital. Look to those who give the example that you want to follow. And enjoy good health. Harry, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today, and I wish you nothing but the best, and keep on biking.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being with you.
Thank you, Harry. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Check out his site, fitnessbeyond50.com. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
An avatar is coming to the Seattle area. Lovingly known as Yogi Raj, he will be doing these upcoming events. Saturday, August 25th, 6 to 8 p.m., Healing and Enlightenment Workshop. This is free, an interactive event. Donations accepted. Location, Asian Resource Center, 1025 South King Street, Seattle, Washington, 98104. Tuesday, August 28th. Yogi Raj will be teaching and sharing his knowledge in a very special class at the Ascension Into Life Foundation. Visit ascensionintolifefoundation.org for more details. Friday, August 31st to Monday, September 3rd, Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji Retreat with Yogi Raj. Location, Fort Warden, Port Townsend. Each of these events will offer you the opportunity to learn about the ancient Himalayan knowledge for self-mastery called Kundalini Kriya Yoga of Babaji. For more information, visit siddhanath.org. You can register for the event through northwestevents.eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E.com, or call for reservations 909-907-9605.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I wanted to... Oh, first of all, I almost forgot. Phone lines are open, and if you would like to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a quote with you by John D. Rockefeller, and this is something that he said. I do not think there is any other quality so essential to success of any kind as the quality of perseverance. It overcomes almost everything, even nature. Perseverance. It overcomes almost everything. There have been people I have known that have gone through some very difficult times. I myself have gone through it. One of the lessons I had to learn at a very young age was to stick with something that really was significant that I wanted to achieve and do it for the purpose of achieving it, not for pleasing someone else, but to do it for myself. And I know we have a caller on the line, but bear with me for just a moment. We are often taught that when we're out in the world, it's dog eat dog. We've got to compete. You got to be out there. And if you have that image in your head of dog eat dog, it's either him or her or me, and that's the way it is. That's going to just tear you up inside after a while. It's going to make you bitter. It's going to bring all kinds of negative things into your space. But if you realize, if you have this inner drive, this desire to do something, I don't care if it's to paint, do a garden, fly to the moon, whatever it might be, realize that you are competing with yourself. You're competing with yourself. You're going to bring the best out of yourself, whatever it is. Now, maybe you're going to be in an environment, let's say in business, or maybe you're in school, maybe it's a spelling bee or something like this. That's okay. But when you come from that position of understanding, I am doing this, I am going for this because it's important for me. I think of people like Lance Armstrong and his battle with cancer. I have friends that have gone through so many obstacles, the loss of a child, and that have started something very special that they're dedicated to. I've known individuals that quietly persevere in conditions and circumstances that I just shake my head when I hear their stories. We've shared those stories on this show. And I go, could I have done what they have done? Yes. But you in your own life will do the same thing. And if you want to invest in yourself, remember, this is for you. And when you become that person that recognizes that you're reaching for your own greatness, by golly, other people are going to look at you and say, I want some of what you've got. Share your story with me. You never know when you're going to inspire someone else. Let's go to the caller who's been waiting so patiently. Welcome to the show. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you've been able to join us this morning. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. First initial is letter P, as a
All
Peter.
Right.
And I'm calling from Boston. How are you?
From Boston. Oh, I'm wonderful. Are your trees changing colors already for fall? Ours are.
A little bit, but today is just absolutely perfect day. Beautiful blue sky, nice weather, just gorgeous here today.
Oh, Boston is so gorgeous. Not only do you have so much history, but it's just so picturesque. Boston is just a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. Haven't been there for years,
yes,
but one day maybe I'll have the opportunity to return. All right, my dear, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I am getting is I want you to write. I want you to cloister yourself away on a fairly regular basis. And I don't care if it's a half hour or an hour. You choose the time. You make the determination. But I want you to write out your story, because what I'm seeing, you're a very responsible person, you are very knowledgeable,
yes.
You are always open to education and to learning, but you feel that you are at a crossroad right now. Now, this is not a bad crossroad. This is very good. But I feel that if you can take the time to write, what's going to happen is this. You're going to realize as you're writing your story, that you are rediscovering parts of your own talents that have been dormant because of the other responsibilities you've had in life. The crossroads you have at this time involves money, it involves location, it involves choices that will affect the lives of other people. And what I'm going to say is going to sound a little strange, but I want you to be totally selfish. I want you to really dig down inside yourself and rediscover what brings you joy. Now, I think you're a natural-born teacher. I think that you find a satisfaction in empowering people, but you're also a disciplinarian. You are a person that will not accept excuses from anybody. You say, if you want me to teach you, then you're going to pay attention to what I have to say, and you're going to do the disciplines that are required. And if this is not comfortable for you, don't bother me. Don't even come into my space. If you want to be in my space and you want to learn, this is what you do. You need to be in touch with yourself again and reactivate the intuitive side of you that you put a cap on. You don't need to be afraid of it. You need to reactivate it. And you've just got, you're right here in this, I'll call it a limbo cycle, but it's healthy. Don't try to make changes too fast. I want you to take advantage of this time. I would say,
okay,
if possible, wait until next spring, but I want you to give this gift to yourself. I want you to be selfish about this. Now, when people hear that word, you go, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. No, it is not. Because if you cannot give to yourself, if you cannot invest in yourself time that allows you to become reacquainted with who you really are, then you're just going to be a busy, busy, busy body doing busy, busy, busy things all the time. You're like me. You can be busy, and it doesn't take much. There's always something to do. I said earlier, sure, that's why women live so much longer. We can't afford to die. There's always a toilet to clean, you know, bread to bake or something to do. Yep, that's what the way the world is. So we have a tendency to be more attentive sometimes to ourselves, but so often we are not. So this is what I am perceiving. This is a very critical time for you because you have about a 10-year cycle here. So whatever your choices are in the spring of 2013, by that time, you will be setting patterns into positioning that are going to be like concrete for almost 10 years. So let's not do that. Don't lay out the path yet. Take some time to think, to feel, to listen to yourself, to your higher self. What's your question for you, Kniti?
Actually, though, that was kind of question. I am at the kind of path right now in life that I feel like I'm stuck. Financially, we want to the kid, and coming, I don't know, a lot of obstacles coming in the way. We definitely, I don't know if the house is ill or we just want to move out of the house. It just never happened. Every time I try to make that move, some sort of obstacle come in the way. And that was my question. You know, is, do you see us moving, me and the family, out of this house? Or?
Yes. Yes, you're going to move. But there's other things here, team. And I think it's to your advantage, believe it or not, that you haven't moved yet. Because you're coming from what I call the emotional nature. And all of this has so much to do with the people that are around you in various circumstances. And there's no good or bad with this. I don't want any blame game going on here. I don't want any fear. I don't want any superstition. I want you to bless the house that you're in because it is it's a good home. And when the time comes for you to move, there's going to be someone that's going to want that space. But right now, it's time for you to focus on you. Stop trying to be a salmon going upriver backwards, going against the current, and think about salmon. Usually they go back to their nesting ground to die. That's not what you're wanting to do. You want to get in the flow so that you have life, so that you have fluidity, so that you have accomplishment.
Yes. Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Okay.
And I appreciate your listening to the show.
All right. Thank you. I love your show. If you have time, I have another quick question, if I may.
Well, that's fine. We're going to take a break for just a moment. If that's all right with you and you want to stay on the line,
perfectly fine.
Then,
All right. Thank you.
For those of you listening, I'm talking with P in Boston. If you'd like to give a call, the telephone number is 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We have a caller in Boston, P, and we're going to be going back to that, and then I'll have some other wonderful information to share with you afterwards. Okay, P, what was your question that you wanted to ask me?
Yes, I'm concerned about my daughter. She lost a job 4 years ago, and she's still waiting for her to get a job, and she's kind of getting down and everything, and I was wondering, do you see her getting a job anytime soon? She's a wonderful child.
Well, I think, first of all, let's change the terminology about your daughter. How old is she?
She is 31.
31. She's not a child. Your daughter is not a child. I know in your heart and in your very essence, this is your baby. But please don't address her as a child. She is an adult.
Okay.
She is a woman. Secondly, if she's been out of work for 4 years, there is definitely a challenge that she has to face herself. And I'd like to encourage her to do some volunteer work. What kind of background does she have? What has been her experience and what is her interest?
Finance.
Okay. If she is interested in finances, if she's interested in investment, I would say she needs to really ask herself if that's what she wants. Because down deep, I don't think that's really what she wants. I think intellectually she thinks that that's what she wants. But she needs to get down to the real guts of what's most important to her. And the first thing I'd recommend, and this is very practical information, I'd recommend that she get an aptitude test. Aptitude test has nothing whatsoever to do with intelligence. It has to do with interest areas, because I'm seeing with your daughter a very strong interest in animals. She prefers to have more of a flexible schedule. She doesn't like extreme regimentation, which often in the type of working environment that she's seeking, she feels like a part of her is dying. Now, she's very good with numbers. She really likes having a sense of flexibility. Believe it or not, she would do very well in an environment that could use her skills with math and could use her clarity of thinking with numbers. She's very good at that. But being in an industry, an occupational environment that she has a passion for. And I think what I'm getting in my head is environmental areas, areas that are dealing with animals. But I'd really recommend the aptitude test, because your daughter is knocking on doors. And believe it or not, she is sabotaging herself. And this is not a criticism. This is just information.
Yes.
When she goes in for interviews, she's attractive, she's well-groomed, she has all of these attributes, but subconsciously, she is really not wanting to be in the environment. So she needs to make a shift, no guilt here, a shift, and look at offering to be an apprentice or a volunteer in a working environment, occupational environment, that she really believes it. She will have work within just a couple of months if she does that.
Okay.
But it is a different way of thinking, and it is a different perception. She's well educated. Yeah. She's, you know, but she's so much in what I call the left brain thinking pattern that she has forgotten that's really not where she's happiest.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. She had a corporate job that she left 4 years ago. She left, she walked out, and like exactly you are right on, like you said, about animals. She loves animals and environment. Mm-hmm. She's all about saving the planet.
Well, that's fine, but you better think about her thinking, because her thinking is creating a body language, and she needs to dump her attitude. She has to put it through her mental garbage disposal and take a fresh look at things, because she's developing demeanors without realizing it that other people are seeing. So that's important. I want to thank you for your call, P. Have a marvelous, marvelous day.
Thank you. You too. I really appreciate your time. Thank you
You're
very much.
You're more than welcome, Bye-bye. My dear. Absolutely more than welcome. Bye. This is Donna Sebo. And if you'd like to give me a call, you can, 888-627-6008. Now, I do want to mention quickly, I'm going to be starting putting out some information about an upcoming class for those of you who are in Western Washington, Quantum Mind 4. And this is going to be the last class of its type for the year, and it's going to be held on November the 3rd, which is a Saturday. And I will be giving you more information about what we are going to be discussing in that class. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. We are going to be talking with Dr. Kevin Jones tomorrow. This book that he put out, I just think, is worth its weight in gold and then some. What Doctors Cannot Tell You. This is a doctor giving inside information. Now, you can't get any better than that. Kevin Jones, and on Friday, will be inspired by Vanessa Talbot. Why? She published a book called Extraordinary You, and there's a number of women that have been featured in this publication, but she also tells her story. And I think it is wonderful. And I think we need to be inspired by people. We need to be aware of people that have walked the extra mile, that have gone that extra step, because so many times, just as my caller said, you feel like you're stuck. And many times when we hear the stories of other people, we can get unstuck because it might help to make the shift in thinking. And since everything begins with a thought, that is the first step. That's a good thing. So those are the people that are coming up on the show. And, of course, my goodness, it's so hard to believe that we're moving into a new month already, but time just keeps on doing its little tap dance, and that's the way it goes. And we are going to have a fabulous lineup of guests, as we always do, on the Donna Sebo Show. And I know it's eclectic, but I like it that way. I like it that way because, one, I learn a great deal from so many people, and two, it enables me to share all of these variables with you. And I think anything that can expand our minds, open us up to different opportunities, potentialities, possibilities, who knows? You may end up doing something because of somebody's story that you've heard on the Donna Sebo Show. That means a lot. I want to thank those of you that send me little items and videos, and I'm not able to always share all of them, but this one was cute. It was sent to me by Charlie, and he said, I'm so glad, this was an email that I received, he said, well, sure glad for a proper, and he had quotes around the word proper, explanation. I feel so much better after reading these points of detail. He said, it's the darned door. It's not my fault at all. Well, of course, that grabbed my attention. And he said, from the September edition of Reader's Digest, ever walk into a room with some purpose in mind only to completely forget what that purpose was? Turns out, doors themselves are to blame for these strange memory lapses. Psychologists at the University of Notre Dame have discovered that passing through a doorway triggers what's known as an event boundary to the mind, separating one set of thoughts and memories from the next. Your brain files away the thoughts you had in the previous room and prepares a blank slate for the new locale. It's not aging, it's the door. Charlie added this. He said, phew, thank goodness for these studies. Thanks, Charlie. I find it fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating how we have these people that want to research so many different things. So if anybody accuses you of memory lapses, just say, I just walked through the doorway. It's the door's fault. It's not mine. It's not mine. Thanks, Charlie. That is a great, great quote. And this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz. 888. No, well, you better not give me a buzz because we won't have time to chat. I'm so sorry. I just looked at the clock. My goodness, we are out of time. Well, I'm so delighted you've been able to share this time with me. Join me tomorrow. Tell your friends about the show. They can listen to it, and I would love to have them join our family of listeners here at the Donna Sebo Show. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are in charge of who you are and what you want to become. Don't give that over to anyone else. Your mind, you belong to yourself. Learning that and honoring it, respecting it, as well as this wonderful body that you occupy, makes your life rich, full, and enables you to handle all the good things that come your way. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening, wherever you are on this beautiful planet of ours. We'll be back here, same time, same place, sharing more with you, the listening audience. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.